Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
So we're here to talk about high school. So why is it that when you hear high school, especially like for homeschoolers, we like start freaking out? Like it's like, oh my goodness. Like you could say elementary and you could say middle school and we're just like, oh, it's so lovely, la la la. And then high school, all of a sudden we like just start like panicking, right? And so I was thinking about that, and the answer I came up with is because the purpose of high school is to prepare our children for real life, whatever real might be, but that's kind of the purpose. And so during this class, I'm going to be sharing my experiences, my thoughts about homeschooling, like high school age. But as any parent can attest to, there is not a one-size-fits-all. So this is what has worked for my family or things that we've done, but I highly doubt that you will copy anything that I say, but I hope that it will spark something in your mind that you can apply to your family and your life kind of thing. Okay, my family is very different than most, and I'm very, very aware of that. We have, like she said, 15 children. We have marrieds and grandchildren now, and we have little ones. We lived in the city for the first 20 years of our life, renovating houses and things like that. We've lived in the country the last several years of our life. So we've kind of had like all the experiences, sure, not all, but my older children were more textbooky kind of homeschooled, and my younger children are getting more like real life homeschooled, and the middle ones kind of flow in the middle. So what I probably will end up talking more about what I'm doing now, but that doesn't mean that the textbooky part and all that is not very real and very important sometimes, depending on the child. So don't think I'm like saying one way or the other. Anyway, okay. So before we can make a plan for our children or ourselves too, because we're kind of going through it with them, we need to know where we're going. It's kind of like the Alice in Wonderland and the Cheshire Cat. She said, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal on where you want to go," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." If you or your youth doesn't really care where they're headed, then it really doesn't matter how you get there. So there are so many options for high schoolers nowadays. So can you guys tell me like different things that you've heard of high schoolers doing like right after they graduate? Just some thoughts. College,
trade school,
missions.
Internships,
gap year,
community colleges,
working, just starting to work,
military.
There are so many different options for our kids now, and it's so exciting, but it's kind of overwhelming as a parent because we feel like we have to prepare them for what they're going to do, right? So if your youth knows what they want to do when they graduate, that like takes a huge load off. Because if they want to go to college, you can look at what those requirements are. And you can kind of use that as a guide to plan their high school. If they want to do military, you know, what does it take to go into there? If you want to do a trade school, you know, or if they know specifically a college they want to go to, that's even better because you can look exactly what they require and go that way. So that takes a lot, not all, a lot of the pressure off. It gives you a lot of guidelines, okay? Excuse me. So then as you do that, then they might find out they have to work really, really hard to get a high test score, like the ACT, SAT. Those might be really important for the admission. And then they'll have to keep that as part of their plan. You might find that they have to have a certain transcript. Like, certain things have to be on their transcript, so you can make sure that that's included. But you also might be surprised at what you thought was important that's not really, if you can find if they have that direction. So what do you do if your youth isn't sure what they want to do? Okay. And he's like, yeah. So I have had both extremes, and I'm sure I'll have both extremes some more. So my three of my older ones, they really had no idea. They, I always even said their numbers. Anyway, my Mason, he's at BYU right now as a freshman, and he had so many different things he was interested in high school. And he did we didn't really follow the TJ Ed thing very well. We followed everything very loosely. But that love of learning stage where they're just jumping around everyone, he was like the epitome of that. Like, he would throw himself into this and then drop it, and throw himself into this and drop it. And I'm just like, whew, okay, honey, what are you gonna do? So he did that. I had another one that just kind of floated, like, really no, what do you want to do? You know, kind of thing. And that's the one that's on, one of them that's on a mission right now. Okay, and then I had one, my oldest son. He decided he wanted to go to pre-med. He wanted to do pre-med. He didn't figure that out until like towards the end. He went on his mission, came back. He's like, pre-med, okay. And so we did some stuff at home, and he started in that, and then he got married. And they decided together that she actually wanted him around. And so he changed his degree. So now he's in civil engineering. So that's, you know. And so we started going in this direction, but then he went that way, you know. And so that's kind of crazy. So in my experience, we don't have to stress about making sure that our youth know everything they're going to need to know, to do what they want to do. It's much more important to instill a love of learning and a confidence to learn so that they know how to learn what they need as they progress in life, because then they have the skills that they need. So we cannot drag our youth through their studies. Okay, I take that back. We can drag our youth through their studies, but we are not doing them a favor. Can anyone think of a college professor or an employer or anybody like that that will hold your child's hand and help them through their things that they're supposed to be doing? They won't, right? So it actually makes it harder for them the more we hold on to them in high school. The more we micromanage them, it makes it harder for them when they leave and they're on their own. So sometimes we just need to let them not learn something, and that's a lesson in and of itself. So my children, except for one, do not like math. And I'm okay in math, but it's not like my love or anything. And I've learned, and it took me a while because I did at the beginning, I fought and fought and fought, and then I learned not to. And so math is one of those things that it was a fight all the time. And finally, when they got to the point, because we had talked about when they got in high school and they're partway through high school and they're still like dragging their feet through, like maybe gotten to algebra, maybe. And it's like, have you done your math? Have you done your math? Have you done your math? Kind of thing. And I'm just like, okay, you know what you need to get into, especially the ones that were college bound. You know what you need. And I will be here for you. Ask me any questions. I'll help you, but I'm not going to drag. So, I have two, three, four children, especially that one in the back taking pictures. When they were in college, so she's graduated, when they were in college and they had to take their math classes, we had the same exact conversation. Mom, why didn't you make me do more math? And I was like, exactly. Because now it's important to them. So they were motivated. So they learned, and some of them, it took them a while. They had to take more math classes to prepare for the math class that actually counted. But they learned so much that way than if I would have pulled and pulled and pushed and pushed and checked things off so that they could have gone forward faster. Okay, so we need to learn to diminish so that our youth can take more control and responsibility for their lives. This can be so hard because we've been doing everything for them since they were born. That's the definition of a mother, really. You know, you have this baby. They need everything from you. Often we have to train others to let our children be responsible. So Creed, he left on a mission earlier this year. And when he was putting in his papers and stuff like that, like when the bishop or the stake presenter had a question, they would always call me. Always call me, well, what about this? And I'm like trying to train him. Well, go talk to Creed. Go talk to Creed. And that happens often. So sometimes it's, you know, we can like give them, but others aren't in the habit of doing it. So we can just train nicely. Just go talk to Creed. So anyway, that was good. Okay. So teaching our children responsibility, especially high schoolers, that's what we're talking about now. So I'm going to be jumping around. So I'm sorry if it's not super smooth. It just didn't happen with this class for some reason. So I'm sure that there's a reason. But if you have any thoughts or comments or anything like that during this, please feel free to raise your hand, blur it out, whatever. Okay, responsibilities versus chores. As they get older, my children have a lot of chores when they're younger and stuff. And then as they get older in high schoolers age, depending on the child, but most often, they switch over to kind of a responsibility. So rather than saying, okay, you need to do A, B, and C at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I say, okay, this is your responsibility. You decide when it needs to be done, but it needs to be done by such and such a time. So I'm giving them freedom, but still giving them the responsibility, so they have a little bit of wiggle room in there to kind of learn. So one thing I did with my two older girls is that they were both working part-time and they were doing school. And so they weren't always home. They were working at a bakery, so they were gone early. And they weren't always home when the rest of us were doing chores. And so we had what we called family work hours. And so I kind of figured my mathematical equation was kind of like I wanted them to have 40 hours of work in school, and I think I included it in chores and their responsibilities or something. Anyway, there was a number in there, but it was a long time ago. So we figured out how much they were working and how much they had to put towards school, and then they had a number. Like, okay, you need to put in 10 family service hours this week. And then they got to choose what they wanted to do for the family to fill those hours. So they're still helping the family, but they got some choose time. My favorite thing that happened in that is that my daughter loves to crochet. She's going to leave because I keep talking about her. She loves to crochet, and I really love the crochet washcloths. And I don't know how to crochet. And so she timed herself and how much long it took her to make a crochet washcloth. And it was like 2 hours or something like that. And so we're like, okay, 2 hours. Every time you make a washcloth for me, you get 2 hours. So she would crochet and read a book, like at the same time. So I'm like, brilliant. Like, that is totally brilliant. Anyway, so I got a lot of washcloths and they're awesome. Okay, they can learn to make meals. Like, they're responsible for meals. Also make sure that they are responsible for the chores that they're going to need to know how to do when they leave the house. Not that they always have to have a chore of cleaning the toilet, but you need to make sure they know how to clean the toilet so that when they go on a mission and they get sent to a new apartment and the missionaries before them didn't know how to clean an apartment, they know how. Because it will happen, I promise. Kennedy, she's my YCT here that's here. She, for a while, we gave her just a list of jobs. She had to do at least one job a day, and we made it just a huge list. And it was the infrequent jobs that, like, I couldn't get to, you know. And so she had the list. She would get it done, and that was her thing for a while. Okay, paid jobs. My children don't get allowance, but not all of them work currently none of them work outside our home. And so if ever they want a job to earn some money, we give them a job that will pay. But my husband, he does this, he's in charge of that. And so he'll give them a job and they'll come up with an amount and he'll say, okay, if you get this job done by such and such a time, I'll give you $5. If you don't get it done by such and such a time, you owe me $3. So we've gotten paid, just to let you know, but hardly ever more than once. Mowing the lawn is a good example. You go mow the lawn, if you don't get it done, you pay me, kind of thing. Money is a huge motivator, as I'm sure we all know. Our youth need to sacrifice and do hard things so that they can grow. All things that are worth knowing or doing or becoming takes effort, discomfort, and sacrifice. We cannot expect our youth to grow into amazing men and women if we make it easy for them. So we need to teach them how to serve, how to sacrifice for others. We need to teach them deferred gratification, and we need to try to get rid of the distractions for them. I'm not going to go down this road, but there's so many distractions for our youth right now, and it's our job as parents to help protect them from that, to help keep the distractions away so that they can focus on what's more important, because they have this time at home that's limited, and the more distractions we let in, the less we have an influence over them. And Creed, when he was in the MTC, he's in Mexico City, so he went to Mexico City MTC. And the teacher asked, so what are you guys going to miss most about home? You know, what about home? And he was kind of shocked at the answers that were there. It was my phone and my friends and my social this and, you know, all these things that, my personal opinion, don't really matter. He said very, very, very few said my family, my grandparents, my sister. He's like, there was just like a handful. And he says what I came, his take on that was like the things that they spent the most time doing were the things that they were going to miss the most. So as parents, let's try to remember that so that as our children get older, we want them to miss the good things. Okay. So a couple things that we've done to help eliminate distractions that I am not expecting anyone else to do, but I'm just throwing them out there because that's what we do. My children do not get their driver's license before they're 18, unless we have a huge prompting from Heavenly Father, so one has. Because they get their driver's permit as soon as they can, which is 15 and a half in Ohio, and then they learn to drive. And they drive with their dad, they drive with me, they drive all the time, but they don't get their license until they're 18. Because that keeps them home. It keeps them safe. So it's very inconvenient for parents. Don't get me wrong. We have to do a lot of driving. But in our experience for our family, it has worked beautifully. We have a nephew who talked about going on a mission. Can't wait to go on a mission, go on a mission, go on a mission. He got his license at 16 and started spending all time with his friends. And now mission is no longer on his radar. Not to say that was the only reason, but my children love reading, like love reading. And so I actually had to make a rule that they could only read what we consider fun fiction, which I'm fine with them reading, just not all the time. They can only read fun fiction after 8 o'clock at night. So during the day, they can read whatever they want or do whatever, but just that stuff is just after 8. And I actually had to make a cutoff time because they were staying up late reading it. I've made the mistake of giving my high schoolers, my young high schoolers, too much responsibility too soon. So we can go both ways, right? And so when that's happened, I've just realized that they're not ready, so we've just had to step back and just kind of reassess and start again. And it's a learning process. Like, it's all these mistakes that we make with our children, I hope I'm not the only one, they're just a learning process. And so if we can stop and talk with them and say, okay, this was what I see happening. This was what I feel I did a mistake. I think I gave you too much responsibility too soon. Okay, so let's back up and let me get this. This is my responsibility. Let me give you some more guidelines. And then we'll slowly work back up to it. And that has been a huge learning experience for both of us. So sometime during their eighth grade year, usually towards the end or whenever I can, we sit down with them and say, okay, what are your thoughts? Like, you're going to be in high school next year. Like, you're going to start seminary. That's kind of how I do high school. If they start seminary, they're in high school. So what are your plans? Like, you have 4 years, 5 years, depending on what you're going to do. What do you want to do? And it gets them, some have absolutely no clue. And we have that conversation, you know, often or semi-often through the next several years. And some know exactly what they're going to do. And so then we start our plan. And it's not all at once, but it's often, you know, have conversations with them periodically and just kind of like fine-tune the plan as much as you can. Let's see. Some definitely have wanted to go to college. Some have definitely not wanted to go to college in my family. And so you just kind of tailor it there. So if you can figure out the bare minimum requirements for your family, like what are the bare minimum requirements that you want your high schooler to have by the time they graduate? I'm talking academically here, but it can be anything. And then make sure that those are in the plan. That's your parental input, okay? And then all the other time that they have, their school time, you let them fill with meaningful experiences. But it can't include during those schools, if you block out time for school, like these are school hours, it cannot include gaming and social media and video watching and things like that. This is my opinion. Okay, so just during that time. So you've given them a little bit, but then they get to fill out the rest kind of thing. So no matter what our children's goals are, our goal when they're in high school is to prepare them for life and being on their own. So if we can teach them to use a planner or a calendar of some sort. I've had ones that love the whole calendar thing, like it's the dates and stuff, and ones that drives them crazy, so they have like little slips of paper of what they want to do each day. So it doesn't matter what it is, but just the process of learning how to think ahead and what do you want to do certain times. You know, it can be as detailed or as vague as they're comfortable with, as long as it's moving them forward. It helps them not to be idle. Like, it helps them to know what they're supposed to be doing during that time. Now, whether or not they do it or not, that's a different story. But at least they have it there. It helps them find structure in their day, which is really important. Says, we need to teach them the structure of our day, but let them work out the details. If we don't let them make their own choices and keep micromanaging their lives, they will never be able to manage themselves when they are no longer under our roof. So ideally, I sit down with my youth about every month, my older ones, and come up with the monthly plan. Like, what are you going to study this month? And then we look at the previous month and be like, okay, what was good? What happened? Okay, what was a total flop? Like, what do you want to change? What do you think you need to work on? Do we need to readjust things? What can I help you with as a parent? Is there any resources you need that I can help you with to that kind of thing? Have regular conversations. I think just talking to our high schoolers is huge because not only are we getting information, but we are strengthening our relationship with them, which is the most important thing. We need to teach them that just because we can doesn't mean we should. Hey, just because they can doesn't mean they should put all these things on their schedule and do it. So as parents, we can show them all the different options they have. If they don't know what they're going to do, or even if they do, just tell them all the options. You know, like we talked about, there's so many options that you can do. Look at so-and-so, he's done this. Look at so-and-so, he's done that. You know, these different things. Oh, I heard this at conference. Somebody's doing this kind of thing. And then step back and get out of the way. And let them think. Let them mull it over. Let them think and give them time to think about things. Give them just enough boundaries and direction to guide them while still giving them the freedom to explore. As I read that, I thought about my daughter, Josie. She's 9. When she was like 2, we got baby chicks. And they were in the garage. And there was just like, you know, super cute stuff. And she was out there and she just thought they were super cute. And of course she went and picked one up. And she loved it so much. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And that happened a few times at the same time. We came out. But I was thinking about that. Like, us as parents, we need to give them the safety of our hands and keep that chick safe. Like, if it's not on the ground, she can't just this. You know, she needs to keep it safe. But if we squish too hard, we're going to squish them. So by the end of high school, for my children, my goal is that they should be teaching themselves. Like, I am kind of out of the picture. I'm there as a resource. If they need me, they come and get me, but otherwise they are in charge of their own education. Okay, this helps train them to be self-motivated and, like, to do things on their own. We're not after them all the time checking them. That's kind of the monthly, but for, like, a mom, that's kind of the monthly thing, is that it helps me see that they're actually progressing, but not, like, hounding them all the time. Okay. So you and your youth can create your own courses of study, which may include textbooks, living books, experiences, journaling, online courses, a class at the local high school. There are so many, like, I mean, Pathway, and what other else have you guys heard of high schoolers doing while they're in high school? There's, like, BYU High out there. I've heard of, like, Lemmy, and I have not done any of these things, by the way.
There's AP classes
online. There's college classes online that they can take for free.
One of my favorite is ASU Universal Learner. $25 to the college class. If you like the grade, $400 to transcript it.
Did everybody hear that? ASU.
It's Arizona State University.
Oh, Arizona State. Okay.
They have a Universal Learner program. $25 to take the class.
Okay.
$400 if you like the grade to go on your ASU transcript.
I wish I had that growing up.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
Universal Learner?
It's ASUUL.
ASUUL. So you pay $25 to take the class.
It's $25 to take the class.
And it's online. Okay. And if you like the grade at the end, then you pay $400 and you get to keep it. If you don't like the grade, you don't have to pay for it and nobody knows. Ooh, that's pretty cool. Thank you. Okay. I learned so much more up here than I do. It's great. Let's see. We talked about jumping through hoops for colleges. Sometimes there's just hoops that you have to do. If a transcript is required, there's many, many resources for finding, like, how to do a high school transcript. One resource I have bookmarked, and I actually copied and pasted onto my Google Drive just in case they decide to take the site down. I just had this thought, so hopefully they won't. It's called the Ultimate List of High School Credit Courses, and you can just Google it. It was like, Ultimate List of High School Credit Courses, and this homeschooling mom just listed, like, tons and tons of high school classes. And so at the end of the year, like, if my children need a transcript, If we haven't taken okay by all, you know, if they haven't used textbooks where it's easy to count, I just hand it to my child and say, okay, what have you done this year, or in high school, and they mark what they've done, and we can kind of smush them together and make classes and that kind of thing. But it gets their mind thinking. So also at the very beginning of high school, it's a good thing to read through it too, because then they can see so many different options of things they could study and learn about, that kind of thing. Okay. Sorry, find this. Okay, ACT, SAT. If you know they need it or it's something that they want to do, that can be a subject in and of itself that they study. My oldest son, that was one of his high school, like, on his schedule. He studied ACT and did practice tests for that. Life experiences, don't forget those. Those are huge. Colleges nowadays are actually getting more and more so that life experiences count a lot more than that they used to. I feel like I'm picking on Lacey, she's here. She wanted to graduate early. So at 13, she decided to start high school. She graduated before she turned 17. So then she went to college after she turned 17 with her brother. But she knew Okay, so long story short, she wanted to do 4 years of seminary. Because she was too young, the first year didn't count. But so she could only, I know, it was weird, but it's okay. So, but she did the three, but every morning her older siblings got up and walked to seminary, and she got up to the kitchen table and did her home study. That didn't count, but she was motivated. And so as we talked about it, we said, you know, we just had this feeling, it is going to be important. Like, you're going to totally be able to use this as an essay to get into college. And we said that when she was 13. And guess what? That was her essay when she applied to go to college. And it was awesome. And so as they have these experiences, kind of keep that in their mind too. The hard things that they go through, remember that for if you want to go to college as an essay to get into college kind of thing. And other life experiences, like as they show in, do you have a question?
It counts now. We have daughters.
You have to have permission from your bishop.
Yeah, it depends on the.
You had permission from your bishop?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah. So, sorry, that's why I don't like it. It's just, anyway. It's okay. It was meant to be, and it was a good experience. Like, you know, life is that way. Like, the things that we're disappointed in, and this is a good thing for them to learn, I think, is that when we're disappointed, when things don't work out the way they're supposed to, there's always a reason. The fact that I didn't have this class all organized and I totally thought I did, and I had to cut and paste and glue and I felt like I was a kindergartner again, there was a reason probably. Or maybe it wasn't. But anyway, life experiences, as they show interest in different things, if you can get like somebody that does that to help mentor them. So my oldest, he was interested in physics, loved physics. I avoided physics at all costs in high school. Like, there was no way. We had a physics book, but I was like, here, honey, you know? And he, like, went through it and read through it and stuff. But I had a friend whose husband was an engineer at Honda, and he loved physics. And so I would take my oldest son, and we would go there for, like, an hour every week. And my friend and I would just chat about books and homeschooling and all that stuff. And my oldest and her husband would be there, like, with, like, papers and writing all this stuff that I have no idea what it was. But they were just, like, things and equations and stuff. And he was in heaven. And my friend's husband was in heaven, too, because stuff. But it was such a good experience for him, and he learned more from talking with him than he did from the textbook, you know. So, I mean, he did both, but it just made it real. So, and then my daughter, Kennedy, her dream, like, which she wants to graduate from high school, she wants to go on a mission, and then she wants to get married and be a mom. Like, that is her dream. She wants to be a mom. And we have a neighbor who is a fabulous. She has two little boys, and she is like perfect mom in my head, you know? And she goes up, and she helps her, like, do her laundry. And she helps her, like, take care of her little boy. And she helps her learn how to can. And, you know, things that I can do, but she learns it way better from somebody else. So a mentor like that, too, and it inspires her and encourages her to do what her dream is. So what if you have a high schooler who is totally turned off from learning? It's like, stay away, not going to do it. Okay, I have those too. Okay. One thing I know is that force and pressure will only make it worse. Okay. We need to take some time to focus on our relationship with them. So even if we feel our relationship is good, if they are not showing interest in learning or school or something, then that is just a sign to us that we need to spend that time rather than forcing that to improve our relationship with them. We need to back off on academics and focus on developing a love and desire to learn. So this may sound super scary, but most often the reason we get nervous and the reason we get scared is because we have a preconceived academic timetable. We think that they have to have such and such by such and such, and they're not going to keep up with so and so. But he's at co-ops doing this, and his friend and so and so's, I met this amazing woman at conference, and her children are like APs everywhere, and you know, and my child like doesn't even like to read, you know. But that's us, right? That's our thing. It's not them. A motivated Okay, so a motivated child will fill in the gaps in a very, very short amount of time. So if we don't push them, and we give them the space, and we give them the love, and we still encourage, and we have an environment of learning, when they get to that point, that they will, that spark kind of kindles a little bit, then they will catch up, if you need to catch up. I don't even think that's real. But they will do what they need to do to get to the point that they want to get to. So that was kind of my mathing. Like, my kids in math, they did that very quickly. They didn't have it, but then they did. All true education is self-education. Unless your child is allowed ownership, you will always be fighting a losing battle. Done that way too many times. So some things that we can do to help motivate them to learn. Okay, spending time in nature is beautiful. It is very calming, and it grounds us. And if we can find stories that connect with the personality and interests of our children and share those stories with them. If they don't like to read, read to them. If you can't read to them because you've got all these other little kids, get an audiobook or have another child read out loud. My high schoolers, sometimes I require them to be in the room when I'm reading aloud. Sometimes I don't. But sometimes they just have to. They can do something with their hands and quiet, but they have to be there. It's very bonding, and it's very healing, and it's safe. It creates a safe place. Create a boredom vacuum. So give them a set time each day, and in my experience, it needs to be like at least 4 hours. So not like an hour, but at least 4 hours. So like a huge chunk. And it doesn't have to be like each day, but you know, times. Each day works well because then it becomes a habit and they get through it faster. To do what they want to do. Like, it's totally their thing. But, and this is the key. Like, this is the key. There's no electronics. There's no mobile devices. There's no screens. There's no, if I were to do it, there's no fun fiction. You know, those things that are keeping them, distracting them from real learning, they're not allowed just during that time. And they will be bored out of their minds. They will sit there and they will not always. Okay, but from my experience, some will sit there and they will complain and they'll whine and they'll be after you and you'll be like, oh, is this worth it? It's totally worth it. So you may have heard of like the detox thing when you pull your children out of public school. I never experienced that, but I've heard of friends have done it. And it's kind of the same kind of thing. Like, you're trying to reset them by giving them this boredom vacuum, because they're going to eventually have to fill it with something, because that's just the nature of it. So be strong, because you're the parent. Like, we're in charge. Yes?
Question.
Yeah, and then.
What about, like, playing outside? That counts.
Perfect. Perfect. That's nature. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, we're doing school for 4 hours, go find.
No. Like, I mean, like, anything. Yeah. As long as it's not those distracting things that easily eat up your time. And then, oh, you know, I can spend 4 hours doing nothing with a screen in front of me, and I'm okay with that, you know, kind of thing. So, okay, sorry.
Just so, if your children are completely comfortable to use all their time doing Legos, for example, would boredom time be Legos, or would you try to help them?
I would leave it at Legos. Okay, so let me tell you my experience, and this is why I said that. So my second son, this makes me cry because this was a total mess up, flop, bad parent experience. But that's when we learned from the most, right? When he was 11, and I think closer to 12, we lived in a place where the whole backyard was rock. Like, it had been a chiropractor. Anyway, it's a long story. The whole backyard was rocked everywhere. And he would be out there playing in the rocks. All day long. All day long. He's my second, you know. So my older son was doing book work because he actually liked it. And he was just playing, doing nothing in the rocks. Okay, so we got after him really bad. And things were said that should not have been said to him. And he still holds the hurt. Like, We talk about things all the time, but he just said, Mom, I remember that so vividly. It killed me. Like, it killed my desire to learn and do anything else. And so that's why I say, let him do Legos. They learn a ton from Legos. There's like a thing out there about all about Legos stuff I saw. I don't have time to stop, but anyway. Okay. Let them play. That was one thing I was going to talk about, but let them play. Imagination is a source of every form of human achievement. Okay, if they can't stand history or science or whatever, but they love to read, get the books about, you know, historical fiction and all these fun things about science. There's so many books out there. Read to them, talk to them. If they're getting frustrated with math or hit a wall with it, just take a break from the lessons. Okay? Flashcards. Get the flashcards out and just go back to, like, we've done that so many times in my educational career kind of thing, is that we've been doing book math, and then it's just this wall. Like, have you ever hit that? Like, your kids just hit this wall, and it's like, oh, what happened? So we stop, and we pull out the math games or the facts flashcards or like that, and we'll do that for a week. I've done it for a month. There's times I've done it for several months, you know, and then something, we can go back, and it's much better. It just needed, like, a break or something. When you find a topic that your high schooler loves, have them write about it. You know, they're not going to be super excited about writing, but if they have to write, don't give them something like, okay, write an essay about, you know, I don't know, I can't think of anything boring right now. But that has nothing to do with their interests. But if I tell my daughter to write an essay about anything, she'd be like, ugh. But if I say, honey, I need you to write something and tell me about your favorite horse and why it is. Oh my goodness, that girl will write, like, and everything that she knows will be on paper. Okay? So, because it was something that she was interested in. So, kind of wrapping things up. If we can think as parents, where do we want our children to be in 4 years? Like, when if they're just starting high school or about to, where do we want them to be at the end of that 4 or 5 years, whatever it is that they're in high school? What do you want to see them doing? Where do you want to see them being and going towards? And is what we're doing now leading them in that direction? What is their trajectory? It's one of my husband's favorite words. Is if they continue on the path they're doing, is it getting them to where they want to go, or is it taking them in a different direction? We have to ask ourselves, do we want to grow the heart of a learner, or do we want to grow someone that can answer the questions on a test? Elder Hugo Montoya, he's so funny, he said, although providing is a responsibility established by divine design, we must not forget to share joyful time with our children. So remember that more important than their education, more important than them learning, which is important, but is our relationship with them and how we feel about each other and how they feel about themselves and how they think they, how they feel we feel about them. That's probably the most important one. At the end of the classical musical, Mary Poppins, the gruff and joyless Mr. Banks arrives home and, having been sacked, discharged, flung into the street, yet he seems absolutely and uncharacteristically delighted. So delighted that one of the servants concludes that he's gone off his crumpet. And even his son observes, it doesn't sound like father. Indeed, his father is almost a new person as he presents his children with their mended kite and launches into the song, Let's Go Fly a Kite. Freed from the dreary tedium of his job at the bank, Banks' inner child suddenly comes alive. The effect of his good cheer is magnificent, lifting the spirits of the whole house. While this is a fictional story, it does show how play opens our mind and helps us break out of the box of the mundane. So when it's getting heavy, even those who really want to just hit the books, and that's their thing, if it's starting to get heavy, go play. Do something fun. Let them do something that brings them joy. If it's getting heavy for you as a mom, take a second and just smile. the dishes are going to wait. They're going to learn their 2 plus 2s next day, you know, kind of thing. And so lastly, I was in a different class yesterday, and I couldn't quite put into a beautiful phrase of what I wanted to say. And I'm sure some of you know her, Catherine Allen. She made a comment, and I'm like, oh, that's it. And what she said was, what they learn is not as important as who they become. And I said, that is it. I was like, Catherine, can I steal yours? And she said, sure. So what they learn is not as important as who they become. So does anybody have any questions that we didn't talk about that I can help with? Yeah.
So what does the detox from public school look like? What do you do?
So has anybody done that in here? Okay. What does that look like?
Some of the advice that I got was just take the year and kind of unschool. Like, let the kids play, let them explore, let them, you know, like, read classic books and talk about the classic books. I had one son who, we couldn't move on in math because he didn't know his multiplication facts. So we just spent months of just doing multiplication. And he was fine with that, and I was fine with that, and so it worked for us. You know, you just take that time and just kind of connect with each other, figure out who your child is. I've been in public school, you don't see them less than half of the time of their life, so you need to learn how, like, who they are.
So there's no pressure, like academic pressure.
Nope.
Does that help at all? Does someone else have a, yeah?
So, I pulled my kids out in middle school, only 2 out of the 3, the middle one does not want to homeschool, and so that's fine. Yeah, he's doing great. But when I pulled my daughter out for 5th grade, I almost had to detox myself because I was so structured, and I was like, okay, so we have to be working from this time to this time, and like that is not the way that our day really should have looked.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it took her kind of being like, you gotta chill out. Anyway, so that was years ago. She's in college now. But now pulled the youngest one out in 6th grade, same mm-hmm. age group. And we had such a fantastic transition. And it was so much easier. But part of it was exactly that. Like, let's just relax. Let's talk about. Like, I didn't even, for the whole summer, we did not really fully plan what we were going to be studying. I did not go into the school year with, like, all right, here's my plan.
Yeah.
I had a loose idea of what. Like,
that is
signed up for a couple
beautiful.
Of like, let's talk about it. What here is a list of the things that we can do on this program that I bought. What do you want to do now? And he loved it, and we're doing great, and we're, like, and the other part is a different experience from him versus her. For the first 3 months of homeschooling with him, I am not kidding you, at least 4 times a week. Thank you so much for homeschooling me, Mommy.
I know, yeah. So isn't it interesting how homeschooling, we always say we're homeschooling our children, right? I think they're homeschooling us, or we're homeschooling, actually Heavenly Father's homeschooling us, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
I think you could consider the boredom vacuum rules, though, for that detox, because I think it might be more challenging if they're in the, I call it the vortex, but if they're detoxing but they're in the vortex of devices,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
I don't think that's true detoxing. Because there, and I'm not going to go into their studies, I'm sure everybody knows tons, but that actually twists their brain so that they can't learn, and they'll get to the point that they actually, if they go down that path so long, they will get to the point they actually mentally cannot have creativity and stuff. Like, all that is, those things are blocked.
Like their drive center. Yeah.
Yeah, so many things. It's crazy. But anyway, okay, anything else? Otherwise, I think it's time. Okay, have a great day.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings, or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.